Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This is God's Word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, as you read this story, do you notice that when the wise men came to Bethlehem and found the child, it wasn't a baby, it was a child. And they didn't find him in a manger, the shepherds found him in a manger. These folks show up when they're living in a house. And the word for baby and the word for child are not the same. Hate to spoil your Christmas pageant, but the wise men didn't show up while Jesus was a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. They came later. That's why Herod is going to kill all of those children 2 years, or all those male children 2 years old and younger. It's based on when the star appeared, according to the Magi. But what does that tell you about how long these Magi had been on the road? What's the main point, Pastor? The main point is this. Write it down. Obedience is a long journey. One step after another, leading to worship and joy. That's the main point today, and we're going to see that in this story. We're going to see some other things too, but I want you to think for a moment about what these wise men, these magi, were doing. They had traveled for well over a year, not knowing exactly what the outcome was, but they were not looking for something, they were looking for someone. They were looking for the one who had been born king of the Jews. They had seen his star in the east, and they'd come a long way. They didn't know exactly how far they were going to have to go, did they? They just knew that they had to go. They had to journey. And folks, oftentimes when you and I set out on a path of obedience to what God is telling us, we don't know where it's going to end up. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We just know that we can't stay where we are. We have to take one step after another step after another step and see where God leads. I have been on such a journey for a long time. You don't always know what lies ahead. But you know that you can't stay where you are because God is leading you to leave, to go somewhere else.
Oh, is Pastor Wood hoping some of us are going to leave?
No. Pastor Wood is wanting all of you to be obedient to God. Because sometimes the Lord's leading is to stay. You're where you're supposed to be. Oh, but I'm restless. I'd like to do something. And the Lord says, no, this is it. Just hunker down. You're where you belong. There are so many pictures of this in the scripture, but I want you to understand something. The key is not movement. The key is obedience. Okay? The key is obedience. You remember when the Lord led his people through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? It says that whenever the cloud of the Lord's glory began to move, the people started moving. And whenever it stopped, they stopped. And they stayed there as long as the Lord stayed there. And then when the Lord moved on, they went with him. That's the way you want to live your life. We have it even better than that because instead of his being out there in a cloud, if you're in Christ, he's in you. And he will direct your steps as long as you're committed to doing what he says. James 1 says he'll give wisdom to those who are not double-minded. You ask the Lord for wisdom, and if you're not saying, well, I want to know what the Lord says and then I'll decide. If you're not double-minded, he will direct your steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just some of them. Not just those that seem to you to pertain to this matter. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. So, obedience is a long journey. One step after another. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to walk in obedience to the Lord, it's not just hopping in a car and going somewhere and coming back. It's a long journey. It's day after day, and you will along the way sometimes have to stay somewhere. But as you take those steps of obedience, God has promised that there is a reward. The whole time they were traveling, following the star, guess what they were doing? They were drawing closer to him. The whole time they were obeying, they were getting closer to God, getting closer to the one that they wanted to worship. They weren't coming to see the child. They were coming to worship the child. They knew their place. They weren't coming to impress the child. They were coming to serve the child. And that's the nature of worship. We're not coming so that God will say, oh, wow. We're coming and saying, oh, wow. We come to worship him. That's what the Magi did. And even though they had limited knowledge, they followed the light they had. They followed the light they had. They didn't understand the whole thing. They didn't have the Old Testament prophecies, but they knew what they knew. They knew as much as God had shown them. And based on what they knew, they were pursuing the Lord. They wanted to worship the one who is king. And so, they kept getting closer. Verse 10 of chapter 2, they approached worship with exceeding great joy. They were overjoyed. I mentioned this last time. Real worship is not mournful. It's joyful. Now, that doesn't mean it's not serious. We shouldn't be flippant. We shouldn't be casual. But so much of the time, when people come to worship, it's like, well, this is what I have to do. I really would rather be asleep right now. Well, wake up! Rejoice! He is the great king and we get to draw near. We get excited about celebrity. We get ho-hum about God. God owns the place. You understand that? God owns the place. He's in charge of the universe. He created all things. All the talents of the greatest athletes, all the intellect of the greatest minds, everything that is impressive to us was invented by God. And so we come into the presence of God, we ought to be like, wow, wow, this is wonderful. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we show up to worship him, guess who's there? God is.
Folks, all this month, we are delighted to be able to offer a free CD of the Getty's music. It is the Getty Kids Hymnal, In Christ Alone, and we would be delighted to send a CD to you via the mail if you become a new monthly donor. New monthly donors who agree to a minimum of only $10 a month are going to be thanked for your commitment to contribute by receiving that gift, and we would be delighted to send that to you. If you're a current monthly donor and you're saying, wait, I've been supporting the ranch. What about me? Well, current monthly donors of $10 or more who want to receive a CD can email info@wvr.org to receive your CD. The CDs are available for monthly donors during the month of April. So please let us hear from you. And again, if you have not been supporting the ranch, a gift of $10 or more monthly will get you the CD and Treasures in Heaven. I do need to tell you that because we're a 501c3 charitable organization, your gifts are tax deductible to the extent that they exceed the fair market value of goods that you receive from the ranch in return for your gift. The fair market value of the Getty Kids Hymnal is $10. So the first month, if you make a gift of $10 and you get a CD for $10, that $10 is not tax deductible. But you get the CD. The next month's gift is tax deductible, fully tax deductible, as is the month after that and the month after that. And we look forward to hearing from you. So if you have questions, you can always call us toll free. You can always go to our website, but again, $10 a month or more, and we'll send you a Getty Kids Hymnal, In Christ Alone. God bless you.
So they journeyed, and as they approached, they were drawing closer to him, and there was great joy, exceeding great joy. They were overjoyed. Look at verse 11. On coming to the house, they bowed down. They bowed down. You and I ought to learn to express our worship physically with our bodies. Sometimes that means standing. Sometimes it means bowing down. But always it means that our posture is a reflection of our desire to worship him. You know what else it says in verse 11? It says they worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented gifts to him. The Lord actually says in the Old Testament, don't come into my presence without something. Okay? When you come to worship me, bring something. Does it have to be money every time? No, it does not have to be. You can bring a sacrificial animal or... No. Well, no. All right. It's an expression of worship. I want to worship the Lord. So what ought to be on my mind as I'm coming to him is, how do I say thanks for what God has done for me? How can I show my gratitude? Well, that's one of the reasons the Bible says we ought to lift up clean hands. If I've been doing stuff I shouldn't do, and then I'm going to go, they're yours. That's not very good. So what do we need to do? Repent. Repent and offer to the Lord clean hands and a pure heart. So they offered treasures. They presented gifts. But there's something else they did. It's absolutely vital if you want to understand what true worship looks like. And it's what we started out by talking about. Verse 12, they obeyed the revelation of God rather than the command of the king. Look at verse 12. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Herod said, find him and then come tell me where he is so that I may worship too. It doesn't say, they didn't really trust Herod. It says, the Lord warned them in a dream. Don't do that. So they obeyed the revelation that God gave them rather than the command of the king. If I have to choose between what the government tells me and what God tells me, is that a difficult contest? No. God wins. Yeah, but what if the government then says they're going to put you in jail? Then you head for the hills. But you still obey God. But they may put you in jail. Yeah, they may. Tons of Christians are suffering in jails right now around the world because they refused to do what their government said. They did what God said. But I don't want to go to jail. I don't either. But I would rather be in jail for obeying God than out of jail by not obeying God. They obeyed the revelation God gave them, even when it meant going against the command the king had given them. You and I had better understand that principle, and we better be ready to do the same, because it's an Old and New Testament requirement. Remember the three friends of Daniel who were told they had to bow down and worship that gigantic statue? Everybody else was doing it. Now, I would not bow down and worship that statue, but I know myself well enough that I know that if I couldn't get out of, I'm sorry, I'm not able to go to the ceremony today. My stomach is feeling queasy. My stomach would be feeling queasy if they were wanting me to go bow down to a statue or else be thrown into a furnace of fire. Okay? I would definitely get a stomachache over that. How many of you would get a stomachache over that? Yeah, see, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to stay home today. Say, no, it's command performance. Everybody has to come. So I know what I would do. I know myself. I'm not bragging. I'm confessing and I'm ashamed of this, but I just know what I would do. When it was time and the trumpets blast and the cymbals crash and all these things are happening in order to say this is the time to bow down and worship, I would want to relace my sandals. I would just get down here and, I wore loafers this morning. These are slip-ons, but I'm still going to just, I think maybe I just need to brush the suede a little bit. Now, I'm not worshiping. I'm not bowing down. I just don't want to stand out as the only guy in the crowd who's not doing what the law commands. I'm trying to be inconspicuous, wiser, but still not doing a bad thing. Well, they were smarter than me. They were more courageous than me. They knew that if you're going to pretend to be doing evil and think that you're doing good, you're being very foolish indeed. Daniel's three friends are heroes because they stood tall and strong. They were committed to obedience. And the consequence was they got in trouble with the government. They got thrown into the fiery furnace. And the Lord met with them there. And not a hair on their head got singed. The only thing that got burned up was the ropes. Don't be afraid of the king. Don't be afraid of people with muscles and guns and all the rest of that stuff. Even if they kill me, they can't hurt me. You understand? Even if they kill me, they can't hurt me. Because what happens when I die? I go to be with Jesus. Let me tell you, that's a good day. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. So, in this story, the Magi model for us the journey of obedience. But I want to quickly tell you one more thing about this. Joseph also demonstrates that he's on a journey because the Lord tells him, verse 13, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. That's obedience. You understand? That's obedience. He didn't say, oh, wow, I had the weirdest dream. I got to tell Mary about this in the morning. He got up, he got Mary up, they got the child up, and they headed out of town during the night. During the night. Well, I have some business affairs I have to wrap up, and I need to notify people, and I need to... No, you need to obey. You do what God says. It's a long journey, but it starts one step at a time being obedient to God. Joseph didn't delay. He models for us the way to obey. You got it? And then after he's been in Egypt a while, the Lord brings him back, and after he's coming back, he ends up not going to Bethlehem, but going to Nazareth. Why? Because the Lord warned him. The Lord directed his steps. It's a journey, step by step, but you do what God says and you do it when God says. Even if it means leaving town in the middle of the night. Pastor Wood, I'm just afraid that you're trying to send a coded message here. No, let me uncode it for you. Obey God. Do what he says. It is a long journey, but it leads to worship and joy. And that's the way I want to live.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.